because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. If you're a person that underlines in your Bible, I would ask you, underline or highlight, he will send in that verse. He will send in that verse. And we'll be looking at some other stuff as well. But so this morning we're going to look at God sees, we pray, God sends, we go. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you very much, Lord, for your word and your work. And I just can't help but be thankful for, Lord, the work that's been done and all of the men here of the church who just gathered to tackle the projects and to take time out of their day and before and after work to be a help. I just thank you so much, Lord, for their sacrifice. I'd ask that you'd be a great blessing to those that have been here cleaning and helping and working and serving. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Amen. So Jesus is traveling around, preaching, he's teaching, and again, it says he's preaching the gospel, okay? So he's out preaching the gospel, and I love how it says he heals every sickness and disease. That's one of the coolest things ever, to think of Jesus walking into a town, and when he leaves, there's no sickness and disease behind him. I mean, there will be again, because, you know, humans live in cancerous bodies, but for the moment, there's got to be rejoicing and thankful parties and just people that are praising the Lord for days and days after this. It's astounding. And of course, you know, if you got somebody who's actually healing people, okay, like actually healing people, the fake ones get pretty good crowds, right? Come on now. I'm doing my best here to make this interesting. So try to stay engaged, okay? So Jesus, he walks in. He's not some Ernest Ainsley or somebody who's got some secret person who's checking out. You know, he knows about a few things of the people, and he's feeding them little stuff in his earpiece, so he knows, yeah, there's somebody here named Mary, you know? Well, yeah, because you took their name when they walked in the door, and now some lady up there's, and this actually happened in multiple of these, feeding them little earpieces so he knows who to talk to and convince them all these, ooh, the spooky spirit speaking to me, you know? It's creepy stuff, honestly, the stuff they do. You know, and then they whack people on the forehead, and then you start tracking down these people you get whacked on the forehead. So somehow they seem to show up at every one of these events and get healed of various diseases. It's kind of interesting. But that's not what happened. And by the way, that any modern healer that you can name, they've all been debunked, even though they're still on TV making money. They've all been debunked, okay? Kind of crazy, but people are still sending them money and gathering by the thousands. Jesus was actually healing people, actually healing diseases. I mean, when you get people raised from the dead, I think that's going to attract some attention. I mean, this is serious stuff. So when we talk about multitudes, this is, what would you do? I mean, anybody here got arthritis and you found out there's a guy down in town that heals it? Serious? I mean, yeah, I'd be there. It wouldn't be just scheduled an appointment. I'd be like, where's this guy at? I'm going. You know, some of you have issues where work would be, forget work, I'm going. I'm getting healed. Is everybody here? It's over. That's what's happening here. He is healing every sickness and disease, and people are just pouring in. They're pouring in, and he's probably having conversations with them, and he's watching them, obviously. And he sees them all gathering. They're all gathering to be healed primarily, but some of them are gathering to listen as well because he is preaching while he's healing. People are coming in. He's preaching to them, so they're listening to what he's saying. He can probably hear their hearts as in their mind. They're arguing with him about some of his logic and the things that he's saying and maybe, again, conversations. But he sees them. He doesn't see them. He sees their condition. Okay? He sees their condition. And this is, we don't often see Jesus portrayed as having an emotion. It's not that he's emotionless. It's just most of the time it's irrelevant to what's happening. But we have him very much. This is a strong statement of emotion. When it says here in verse 36, When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. That means as a human, as a man human, he was literally overwhelmed with their need and felt pity for them. As a man, as a human, he felt the emotion. The word compassion here means he literally, as if he could, he felt their suffering. He saw their suffering and felt it. It was personal to him what they were suffering from. Their misfortunes, he felt as if it was his own. I mean, that's pretty serious. Now, that, by the way, that's actually not much different than Jesus being on the cross and becoming sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Same thing. He experienced our loss. But in this, he is seeing they're searching around. They've got their leaders are pretty much just there for power. They're under the Roman oppression. They're probably being influenced by a ton of Greek philosophy because Romans brought a lot of the Greek philosophy with them. So there's back and forth and thinking that who's truth, what's truth. I'm serving like the Jews want, but that seems kind of fake because they just stand out there and pretend like they're all something and praying like they're big stuff, and they say this is what you ought to do, and then they turn around and don't do the stuff that they say we're supposed to do, and they do the stuff that they say we're not supposed to. Can you imagine people like that? Are people in the United States disillusioned right now? I love how every president, it don't matter what side of the aisle they come from, but they get like maybe a 50% vote. And they get in, we had a clear message from the American people. Yeah, we're confused. We're split. There's no clear message. Clear message from the American people would be like 80%, not 50%. And some of those going, I just picked the best option I thought was available. And both sides are the same. Is everybody here? Listen, this is a group that they're probably a little bit more tore up than that. But he's looking at them. They don't know which way to go. They don't know who to believe. They don't know if maybe the Roman gods have something. Or maybe, they've heard all the stories about Moses and Abraham, but they're looking at that going, what is that doing for us today? I just don't see it. Maybe those are just stories, And he sees it. He feels it. And, you think he would just heal it all, right? Why wouldn't he just fix it all right there? But that's not how God has chosen to give the word of the gospel that they need to men. What does it say that their need was? He says, he was moved compassion with them because they they fainted and were scattered abroad. Okay? Fainted and were scattered abroad. I'm going to get ahead of myself, so I'm going to stop a little bit. It's interesting, though, to me, and the reason I had you do some of this is his response looking at the disciples to their need and seeing his compassion, his response was not going, not by telling us to go, but by telling us to what? To pray. Isn't that interesting? And we're gonna get some context here because there's a small context in which we're talking about. He doesn't say go, he says pray. And he doesn't say, listen, this is one of the things that shocked me as I was studying through here, because I've always prayed for more laborers. That's not what he tells us to pray for. He tells us to pray that the Lord would send more laborers. We ask him to send some. This is specific. We need, Lord, please send more laborers. Okay, that might be all right, but if your point is I'm just asking for more laborers, no. Lord, I need you. Please, Lord, would you send more? We need more. Would you send more? Amen. Is everybody here? And there's a purpose to that. We'll get to that. There's a reason that its emphasis is on he needs to send it, not just us asking for more there, to be there. So don't mess it up, and we'll look at that. So, and of course, then the idea is those that are sent, what does he say? Yeah. Well, no, he sends. I'm sorry, we pray, verse 38, pray therefore, Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth. That means they're going to go, right? He sends them and they go. I mean, so there's a two-part action there. Because we're all human and we all know that we don't always do what we're supposed to do. Sometimes he sends and there's no going. There's no forth after that. Okay, so I just kind of connect some of the dots there. So those that are sent should go forth. So again, I'm going to take you back. That's kind of the whole story, and we'll get in a little deeper on some of these pieces, but God sees. It's a back and forth. God sees, we pray, God sends, we go. It's back and forth. So what did God see? The need of the people. Now, he noticed he doesn't reference the sickness and disease because he's healed that. The need of the people is not to be healed from their physical maladies. Well, if you find, well, this person's awful sick. He need Jesus. Well, they might still be sick after they have Jesus. Matter of fact, it's highly likely. He's healed the physical things. Is everybody here? He saw that they were fainting. What's fainting? It's kind of an interesting thing. It pretty much means like what you think it means, but they just run out of energy and they're just lying down wherever they are. There's no purpose to their life. Do you hear that? They have no purpose. They're feeling like they're without purpose, so what's the use? You hear that? You know, it's kind of interesting to me that the more wealthy the United States gets, the more purposeless are its citizens. The higher the increase in depression, the increase in suicide, all those things. And, you know, it's funny because we have the highest rate of those things, like in the world, in most of those areas. I wonder why that would be. Because we've got so much ease that there is no purpose. Part of it, okay? And we've been turning our back on God who gives us purpose. Amen. They fainted. And then it says they were scattered abroad. As sheep, I'm going to make sure I got it right. Verse 36, they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. This is very specific. And this is the part of the passage where we begin to understand he's not just talking about a whole bunch of people to go out and you know, like a whole church and every believer needs to go out and preach the gospel. He's assigning it to someone who keeps continuity in sheep. He's assigning it to a shepherd who keeps them together and keeps them following one purpose, going in one direction. You hear that? Now, who's the great shepherd? Right, Jesus is. Does he use men shepherds too? Sure he does. And what he's assigning it here is he's talking about ministry people. That's the direct connection, is ministry people. All of us have already been sent to preach the gospel. Already, all of us have. All of us have already been sent. We're supposed to tell our neighbors. That's part of the Great Commission. That's across the board. This is for the need of the people and the fainting and the sheep that are scattered abroad that need to be brought in. You know, it's funny because we keep thinking, well, I just want to be me. I just want to be independent. Yep, and you know what comes of being you and being away from the flock? Depression. You hear me? You hear me? Well, I just do everything by myself. Yep, and you're all by your lonesome. We were designed, even those of you who think you're hermits, you're designed to be functioning and cooperating in a group. And God purposefully put in all those different personalities because a group needs them. Otherwise, they become foolish. In some ways, stupid. And we know the mob gets stupid. Isaiah 53 said it like this. All we like sheep have gone, and we have turned everyone to our own way. I don't need the church. I can do things however I want to. Well, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus died for the church. Jesus said that he places us in a body, a church. That's our purpose, is to be in that church. And to be scattered abroad is sheep who are all off trying to find their own water, all off trying to find their own grass, and you know, just being self-confident, and that with that self-confidence of being out there, being all on their own, guess what else they're finding? They're fainting. They don't have the strength to keep going. They're running out of patience. They're running out of strength. They're losing purpose. They feel pointless. They're not sure if anyone even cares. No one is helping them. No one is teaching them. No one is guiding them. No one is protecting them. No one is caring for them. Boy, I tell you, is that not, I mean, if we just take those phrases that I just said, I guarantee you there are thousands upon thousands of Americans would say, yeah, that's how I feel. If anybody's going to care for me, it's going to have to be me. And I'm running out of patience with me. We do, don't we? We're not just talking about the world's need for salvation here. We're talking about the world's need for preachers, pastors, teachers, God-called ministry people who can show up and only by God's grace just say, here's what the book says, here's the direction that God says, let's go. Here's the direction that God says, let's go. You understand, right? You're going off that way, but that's the direction that God says. You need to be, okay. Well, if you go that way, this is what the Bible says you're going to face. Okay, this way we need to go. You hear that? He's saying we need to ask God to send us more ministry people. Amen. I've been praying since Brother Nathan's gone, I've been asking the Lord for a replacement. I say, Lord, send us someone. Lord, send us someone. And my request has always been, there's too much work. I need more help. And I'm coming at God the whole wrong way. I'm forgetting that He's the Lord of the harvest. If he don't send them, they're not coming. And I'm over here going, anybody, I mean, just a volunteer, something. And God's saying, that's not how this works. You need to pray for me to send laborers. And when I send laborers, guess what they are? They're God sent. Amen. There's a big difference between God sent and I came because I wanted to. Because if you come because you want to, and when you no longer want to, you aren't going to stay. Because the work doesn't, you know, get easier, right? And you all know that. You all have had your job. There is much. What does he say? The harvest truly is what? Plenteous. Is. Present tense. It is. There's a lot of work that needs to be done, and it's harvest time. In other words, it needs to be done now. Do you understand there's some urgency here? The harvest is plenteous. And the laborers are few. Don't ever think that somehow we live in a day when it's just worse off than it used to be. No, there's always been too much work and not enough workers. Since Jesus was on the planet. Always. There has always been way too much harvest and not enough laborers. Always. That's just how it is in the world. There are not enough laborers. The laborers are few. Amen. And a laborer, just understand, the laborer here, in context, the word laborer is specific. It has a definite meaning. It means someone who's paid to do a job. By the spiritual implication, the idea is a teacher who labors to promote Christianity amongst men. A laborer is someone who's paid to do a job, and what they do is they promote Christianity amongst men. Wow, that's laborers. Much work to be done, and we need more. So let me ask you a question. Are there enough pastors? If you don't know, I'll just help you out. No. There's not. I have a dear friend that pastored for 35 years. Matter of fact, he was here. Brother Phil Spencer was here and preached for our anniversary. Brother Phil Spencer here. He pastored for 35 years in Sioux Falls and got four calls because nobody hardly knew him. He still got four calls from other churches to come and say, hey, would you come consider? I'm going, four? I'll get that in a year at least. All the time. Why? Because there's a lot of churches out there with no pastors. My dad always used to say, and there's a lot of churches that should still be looking when that pastor finds a place. And there's a lot of pastors that should still be looking when that church finds their place. There's always been a need. There's always been a need. Is there enough missionaries in the world? Yeah, in India, 1.4 billion, is that what you said the other day? 1.4 billion people in India. I think China is close to 2 billion. You think there's enough preachers there? Let's just be real honest about this. Jerome's not a big town, but is there enough gospel preachers in Jerome? I think we could probably handle a few more churches. Gospel preaching, it's not like I'd be totally upset. We need more, and we've always needed more. So what is his instruction to this need? Man, there are people out there dying and going to hell. There are people out there who are trusting in the world's philosophies, and they're being led off on these strange things. And I mean, you watch the news daily today, and you got these kids who are following the trans movement. Well, everybody, it's a possibility. You just, talk them into it, get them into it, and then they're regretting it. Like really short, it's just a fad. It's just a huge fad, and they're regretting it very quickly. Even people who've gone through the process now are back in counseling trying to stop kids from doing it. Because they regret it further. Why? Because they're following the philosophies of the world. Well, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to be what I think I am, what I feel I am. Off wandering off trying to find their own grass and their own water. Not following the truth of God. And we see them. Now, listen, I want to encourage you. Don't be angry at these people. Stop being angry at lost people for acting like lost people. They're lost. They're lost. Well, I just think marriage should look like this. Okay, that's great. What's the Bible say? Well, we have an open marriage, that. Okay, that's great. What's the Bible say? Off on your own and you're getting the results. Listen, don't be mad at the world for acting that way. They're sheep without a shepherd. Great need. And what does Jesus say? Here's what I want you to do. Volunteer! Okay, well, there is some cases where volunteer is a good thing, but we're going to talk about that. Volunteer has to be done with sent. Well, I'm just going to go do it. Are you sent? Did God send you? No. Well, maybe we should just do a draft. That's been tempting sometimes. So 1/10 of all your children have to go to Bible college. none of you have 10 kids. We'll go to 1/5. Maybe we should coerce them. I don't know. I have to be careful here because I am a PK, pastor's kid, and I have PKs. I'm telling you that as a PK, preacher's kid, it was amazing how often people who were not in ministry knew what I was supposed to do with my life. Well, you're going to do what your dad does, right? That's what you need to do. Like, that's not how that works. But I literally, now granted, thank the Lord, I actually knew what I was supposed to do from the time I've been about seven, maybe nine years old. The Lord's kind of talked to me. But it always irritated me that people without knowing me, without talking to me, would say, well, you're supposed to be in ministry. Oh, have you talked to God? Did God miss me somehow? Did he send you a note to pass on? I felt pressure from that. I felt coerced. My kids, even though I have spent, I can't tell you how many times, I remember totally shocked because my wife and I, we've over and over, we'll be happy if you're doing what God wants you to do. If that's a plumber, a welder, a mom, a housewife, ministry, great, whatever. If you're doing what God wants you, that's what we'll be happy. And then I find out, I'm talking to my son and my daughter, who are in their teens now at this point, and they're both going, well, we just thought expected us to be in ministry. Like, when have I ever said that? I never said that. I spent the whole time telling you, you need to do what God wants, not what I want. You needed to go where God wants. And it was funny because, not just this church, because we've been at more than one church, but they felt coerced from the people. That since dad's in ministry, they need to be in ministry. Guess what? I'm not God, and you're not God. There's only one Lord of the harvest. That doesn't, and we'll talk about, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't approach every young person with the prospect, are you being sent? Not, you should go, but are you being sent? Well, this is what I want to do with my life. Okay, but that sounds an awful lot like sheep scattered abroad. What does God want for you? It was interesting. Yeah, I talked to a friend of mine this week. He's got a little side hustle going on, and I was asking him about his side hustle. I was like, well, so what are you doing? How are you going about this? What are you doing? And he answered. He said, we didn't even get into this thinking we just want to make more money or blah. He said, the Lord led us into this side hustle, and it really never was about making money, but we know that we're supposed to be doing this side hustle because God brought us here. I'm like, you know, it's funny. In all my considerations about side hustles, I've never thought about that. It's kind of interesting. We're doing this because God sent us to this. Listen, what are we talking about? God sees the need of the world. It's not like God's up there going, oh my, look how bad things have gotten. Oh, this is awful. I'm going to just wipe the place off the map. No, God sees the need. He's always seen the need. And when he looks down at the city of Jerome, or maybe you might be sitting in here, when he sees these people that are wandering off following their own philosophies and they're trying to find their own way and all they're finding is pain and suffering and hurt and baggage, he sees them and he says, he looks at us who are believers and said, please, no please about it. He says, you all need to pray. You all need to pray. He turned and he saw the need of all that multitude and he looked at his disciples and said, you all need to pray. You hear that? That I would send more workers into this need. Wow. That's the answer. Anybody here claim you've got the best prayer life in the world? Here's another thing to add to the list. God sees the need, and then he looks at us and says, here's what your responsibility is. There's a need. Here's your responsibility. Pray. Pray. I don't want no raised hand. Nobody raise a hand. But I want you to ask you, when's the last time you asked for more pastors for the state of Idaho? When's the last time you asked for more preachers for the town of Jerome? When's the last time you asked, some of you, this might be true because I've been praying it, when you've asked the Lord for more preacher help, ministry help for our church? Is everybody here? God looks at us and he doesn't, in this instance, we know the need of the gospel of all mankind and we're all commanded already to give the gospel. This is talking about a teacher, a preacher who will come and guide people to Jesus. A ministry person. Do you pray that God, instead of getting mad at the Congress and mad at the left and mad at the right and mad at the center and mad at the extremes, and just instead said, you know what we see evidence of? We need more preachers. Lord, would you please send more? We're told to. We're told to pray. But then we have a connection there, don't we? Because it says, pray therefore. Here's how he's going to answer it. You pray, the Lord of harvest, that he will send. That's the answer. We pray, God answers how? By sending people. God sends. Now that's important. A person should never go in the ministry without being God sent. I'm telling you, destroy yourself, destroy your family. You have to be God sent. I even believe, and this is, I carry this maybe farther than some, or maybe not as far as some, I don't know, but I believe that God moves this kind of people where he wants them. I believe that I am in the Lord's army, and he can pick me up and plant me in Timbuktu tomorrow if he wants to. Do you know what I'm saying? Because he's the boss. He's the one that sends. Now, I'm thankful that I'm still here. I like Idaho. I like the people here. I like you all, believe it or not. I like every one of you. No matter what you think, I like and love every one of you. Okay, I love every one of you. Sometimes I like all of you too. Just like you guys me, so you get the picture. But God sends. We pray, God sends. They have to be sent by God. God is the only one that can send men into the work. He's the Lord of the harvest. It's his field, his work. He's the one that sends. He's the only one that can send. And by the way, when they're sent, they need to go. Now, listen, I know we all feel a touch of this around missions conference. For those of you who have been through missions conference time, and you see the missionaries get up and they're presenting their need and they start talking about the need there and how people receive. I mean, there's got to be, it's not just me. There's got to be every person in the room going, am I supposed to do that? Lord, do you want me to pick up in the middle of nowhere and, I mean, sell all my stuff and move to Papua New Guinea? Help out Brother Keck? Lord, do you want me to sell all my stuff and move to Albania and work with Kurt King? You hear what I'm saying? We hear that. Let me ask you this, because this is where this works. You have to understand that if God has the right to send, then we have a need to listen if he's sending us. We have to consider, I'm going to remind you of Brother Cooper, who saw how fast the towns around him were growing and how few churches there were. And he kept saying, Lord, please send some more people. We got to have more churches. There's just hundreds of whole towns pop up of 100,000, not one church of any sort in the whole area. It's like, Lord, please, you got to. And suddenly God's looking at him saying, yeah, I've been trying to tell you. I'm sending you. That's kind of how that works often enough. So God sees the need. We pray, because that's what he's commanded. We pray, and when we pray, God sends. But there's another part to that, and just it connects. If he is sending, and he is sending forth, that means there's people that have to go. Wait. I've lived here my whole life. Are you sent? Well, you don't understand. My parents, my kids, are you sent? Well, you know, it's such a problem. I've got this job, or I've got this business, or I work. I'm tightly connected with this, and they, what would they do without me? Yeah, because God's just completely incapable of taking care of. I know it's funny. There are a few people that leave an organization, and the hole is so big that they can't fill it. A few people. For most of us, I used to say like this. I left Heartland and they're saying, oh, I so missed you at Heartland. They probably needed you at Heartland. I said, yep, just like this. Pull your finger out of a bucket of water. How much of a hole does it leave? God knows how to fill the hole. It's us who thinks that we're important. Everybody here? Yeah, but listen, I got my way of life. I don't want to give up this way of life. And listen, a lot of people think that me in ministry just means that you're always poor, never have enough money. Does this look poor to you? Is there anybody here who always has enough money? What's funny is God manages to take care of even those who don't have money. If God is sending, listen, if God is sending, then there's people that have to go. So here's the question. Are you supposed to go? Listen, there's no coercion from me because God does the sending. If you're supposed to go, I'm going to stand behind you 100%. If you're not supposed to go, I'm going to stand in front of you 100%. Not that I know that, but you know what? Between you and God, sometimes some of those things are kind of funny because the Lord does actually reveal it to the church, the certain people that are called. And the rest of the church kind of looks at it and goes, uh-huh, yep, not surprised about that one. I've heard men say, been waiting on that. I've heard men say, I remember one guy coming up, lots of zeal, and it wasn't here, but lots of zeal. Oh, I want to get in. I remember later having a conversation when he ended up kind of not falling out, but just deciding, you know what, I better go over here just to work a job and get married, and watch the older men in the church say, yeah, we were kind of wondering about that. Why? Because God does some work in there. I'm not going to try to get in the middle of all that, but God does send. There's a work to be done. God sends. Is he sending you? God sends. When he sends, if he sent, guess what we got to do? We go. There's a work to be done. Go forth. There's a labor. There's a harvest. There's work. There's work to be done. When you're walking out into a field and there's laborers in the field, what spot do you pick? Behind all the other laborers where they're working? Well, you go find a spot where there needs some work and you go do it. Amen. There's work that needs to be done. You go do the work. Go. One of the things that I try to talk to young people, I like when young men graduate from Bible college, majority of the time, they're really not ready just to run into the ministry. People act like, college somehow gives you everything you need to be the wisest person in your field. What? College has never been that. College has always been, we're teaching you how to use the tools that you need for your field. Whether or not you're good at it, that all happens after college. So people called into ministry, I'm all for. I really am. I'm all for a lot of young men going and working under another man who's been doing that for a while, maybe getting some experience. But when they keep staying there and they never step out and go into ministry, like, I think they're picking the easy route. And I've had conversations like that. I'm like, are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? Can you look at me right now and say, I am where God wants me to be? Absolutely, with no question. Or you're not just picking this because it's easy. Amen. Go. There's work to be done. If God's calling you, you need to go forth into the harvest. Amen. All believers, including ministry workers, we all need to start praying for more laborers. No, we need to start praying that God would send more laborers. Why? There's not enough. That's not the reason that we pray, but there's not enough, and God does bring it up. The reason we pray is because the need is great, and there's not enough. God sends, man must respond. Would you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6? Some of you already know where I'm going with this. Isaiah in chapter 6. Verse 1. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, with twain he did fly. And one cried another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. So let me just pause a sec, look up here. Isaiah, in other words, to take all the vision-y stuff out of it for us today, Isaiah was in a place where he was walking with God, and he realized in himself who God was. He got a little vision of how awesome, how holy, how high, and good and righteous God was, which means above himself. Okay? Now let's look at verse 5. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm not worthy to be here, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Now, pause up, look up at me a sec again. Okay? We're in the realm here of God calling someone to go do a work, sent to be a laborer in his harvest. That's what's happening right here. And Isaiah didn't go, I'm the best man for the job. Look at all my experience. Look at all my qualifications. Look at my parents and, you know, my home life and blah, 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 blah. No, this is a person who saw God as he was and realized, I'm not much of a man. I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. That sounds pretty specific. I mean, what, did he have a problem with cussing, dirty jokes? I don't know, but unclean lips is pretty specific. It's like maybe Isaiah knew what his problem was and like, the Lord would never use me because I have a problem with. You hear that? And look at the response, verse 6. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin purged. Thank the Lord. That's us, isn't it? Because of Jesus Christ, our sins are taken away and our iniquity is purged. Look at verse 8. And also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? You hear that? Whom shall I send? And after that, and who will go for us? Then said I, could you use me? I'll go. Here's the interaction. God calls people to go. He's not looking for people who think they're the bomb. He's calling for people that are going, why in the world would God ever use me? I've got so much trouble. And God says, you're a believer, right? Sins covered, forgiven, yeah. I'm looking for somebody to go help over here, somebody to go over this passage. Could you use me? This is what the spirit of every believer ought to be. There's a need here. Could you use me? What's funny is God has sent all of us to a particular place, hasn't he? Some are sent to work at Spears and to be a help. Some are sent to be electricians and plumbers and contractors. Some are sent to be secretaries and online workers and, I mean, teachers. What else could we say? Some are sent in a sense, and you are exactly where you're supposed to be. But there are some who need to realize that God, if God is sending them, there's an area of God's field that he wants to send, and they have to say, Lord, would that be me? Not, that guy's a good one over there. You should pick that person. They talk well. You know, don't pick me. Do you know my background? I'm not saying God doesn't have, there are some responsibilities and requirements he places on these people, but he looks and he says, who will go? And our response is not supposed to be, oh, I'm sure he'll get somebody else. And I'd say this, but I think young people are the place, because, you know, we always ask young people, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be when you grow up? We need to stop asking that question. We need to start asking, what does God want you to be when you grow up? Where does God want you to go? What is God's will for your life? What is God's job for your life? Well, I feel like I'm good at this. That's irrelevant. I'm sorry, but that's irrelevant. Well, I've got to find something that makes me happy. Yeah, because I'm sure concrete, just you wake up every morning, concrete makes you smile, Jonathan. Yeah, he probably goes, ugh. But it brings home the money. You hear what I'm saying? Well, get that out of your life about what makes you happy. About you know what will make you happy? You get where God's will is for you. You'll still be human, but you're going to find peace and happiness there. What's interesting is, whom shall I send? The Lord says. Isaiah says, here am I, send me. And what does the Lord say in response to that? Oh, my page got turned. No, I was on the right one. Yep. Then, and he said, go. Well, actually, he says, go and tell if you want to get true. Go. Do you hear? Go. Is God talking to you? Maybe not. Okay, that's great. Would you be a part of the group that says pray? Pray. Do we need more gospel preachers here in Jerome? Could we use some here? Could we use some in the state of Idaho? Can we use them in the Northwest? Pray, Lord, please, God, would you send some more? Please, God, would you send some more? Our country needs them. Please, God, would you send some more? At this point, I don't know if you know this or not, but there are other countries now that are sending missionaries to the United States. I don't know if you've heard that or not. There are churches in the Philippines who are sending preachers to the United States because they're called to preach the gospel here. I don't care where they come from. Lord, please send more laborers. There will always be workers. There will always be more work than there are workers. There will always be believers who need to pray that God would send more, and there will always be a God who will send. The part after that is kind of up to us, because God is sending, who is answering? Father, Lord, I just for a moment, if I can, I sure would like to thank you, Lord,